Blog Talk Radio.
The Bible says my king is the king of the Jews. He's the king of Israel. He's the king of righteousness. He's the king of the ages. He's the king of heaven. He's the king of glory. He's the king of kings. And he's the Lord of lords. That's my king. I wonder, do you know him? My king is a sovereign king. No means of measure can define his limitless love. He's enduringly strong. He's entirely sincere. He's eternally steadfast. He's immortally graceful. He's imperially powerful. He's impartially merciful. Do you know him? He's the greatest phenomenon that has ever crossed the horizon of this world. He's God's son. He's a sinner's savior. He's the centerpiece of civilization. He's unparalleled. He's unprecedented. He is the loftiest idea in literature. He's the highest personality in philosophy. He's the fundamental doctrine of true theology. He's the only one qualified to be an all-sufficient savior. I wonder if you know him today. He supplies strength for the weak. He's available for the tempted and the tried. He sympathizes and he saves. He strengthens and sustains. He guards and he guides. He heals the sick. He cleanses the lepers. He forgives sinners. He discharges debtors. He delivers the captive. He defends the feeble. He blesses the young. He serves the unfortunate. He regards the aged. He rewards the diligent. And he purifies the meek. I wonder if you know him. He's a key to knowledge. He's a wellspring of wisdom. He's a doorway of deliverance. He's a pathway of peace. He's a roadway of righteousness. He's a highway of holiness. He's a gateway of glory. Do you know him? Well, his light is matchless. His goodness is limitless. His mercy is everlasting. His love never changes. His word is enough. His grace is sufficient. His reign is righteous. And his yoke is easy. And his burden is light. I wish I could describe him to you. He's indescribable. He's incomprehensible. He's invincible. He's irresistible. Well, you can't get him out of your mind. You can't get him off of your head. You can't outlive him, and you can't live without him. Well, the Pharisees couldn't stand him, but they found out they couldn't stop him. Pilate couldn't find any fault in him. Herod couldn't kill him. Death couldn't handle him, and the grave couldn't hold him.
Hello, and welcome to Ecclesia Radio. You are listening to the theological blatherings of Meg, Anthony, Andrew, and missing tonight is Rob. So tonight we are going to be doing an introduction of the host. So if you're like, who are these people? And then this is who we are. So basically we're going to go over some of our interests, our passions, and what we want to accomplish with this podcast. So let's start with just an overall, what the heck is Ecclesia Radio, and what is our heartbeat? Andrew, would you bound on that?
Ecclesia Radio is one of the branches of what I like to call the Ecclesia Project. It's basically the idea that we want to reform that way that people go to church, and we want to bring authenticity back into the American church. One of the things we've noticed growing up in the church is that it's very shallow, lacking community. It's kind of what I call turnstile evangelism. We just kind of push them through the gate, and then once they see who cares about them. So Ecclesia is an attempt to bring the American church back to authentic church worship. And this is just one of our venues for trying to do that.
Excellent. So, Anthony, would you like to expound on what Andrew said?
Expound on what Andrew said? There's just a lot of churches that have lost what Christianity really is, the love that Christ preached. They've lost the love that Paul preached. They've lost the desire to go out and just live lives of love for all people, for unsaved and saved people. And it's just really sad to go into most churches today. And we just really, we want to have a church, have a, I guess you could say, a project, a lot of different things that are based upon the love of Christianity and the love of God.
The Word of God also.
The Word of God, or Jesus, if you want to get into a theological discussion. I will also put in there that we, right now, that we do have a blog. It is undenominational.
Just yet
church.
Another branch of our little project.
Yeah.
Blogspot.com, it's undenominational church, right?
It's undenominational church, yeah, at Blogspot.
Yeah.
Because somebody else stole our name.
Yeah.
Blogspot.com.
Who knew using the original Greek word for church would be common?
Our original.
One of us should probably explain the choice of ecclesia.
Let me do it. Okay, I love Greek. I've studied the most Greek here. So, ekklesia is the Greek word that Jesus used for church. And most times, there's actually a fallacy out there that it literally means called out ones or called out for one purpose. And the fallacy is that it means one who is called out for Christ. But that's actually not true. The Greek word just means people called out to a singular purpose. There's actually a time in Acts where there's a group mobbed together for the purpose of stoning Paul, I believe Paul, maybe Peter, stoning someone.
Probably Paul.
And anyways, the same word, ekklesia, is used to describe that mob. And so they were all gathered together for one purpose. And that's the word that Jesus used to describe the church. And that's how it's translated, is an ekklesia, a group of people called together for one purpose. And that purpose, obviously, is to glorify God, worship God, fellowship together, et cetera, et cetera. One of our passions is going back to the roots of Christianity, and using the word ekklesia as our name really represents that by the fact that we are going back to the Greek word, and so that sort of reflects our desire to go back to the original roots. Also, we like Greek words, Greek word studies, and that sort of thing, and I'm sure, yay, Greek! And I found so much spiritual benefit from actually studying the Greek, and it's so accessible with so many of the tools we have, which is something that we will talk about on the show, are ways to bring maturity to your faith. And I think that especially Ecclesia Radio, that is to bring awareness of the issues that are facing the church and to be able to talk about them in a way that's safe and not necessarily politically correct. We're not looking to, you know, hurt anyone's feelings or pick on any one particular denomination, but to look at the church as a whole and as objectively as possible, analyze the faults that the church genuinely does have today and come up with practical solutions, debate theological matters, and really go back to what does the Bible say about this, this subject. And that's something we wish to explore and bring awareness to. And maybe you'll hear things that you didn't know were even issues. And so I think definitely one of our passions is maturity, and discipleship would be another one, definitely. So... yeah. Do you guys have anything to add to what
I guess two things, sort of. I guess on the name ekklesia, an interesting little history tidbit is that the word ekklesia in the Greek world, at least, was typically used of a mob that was trying to bring about political reform in a peaceful way. So I thought that was just kind of a little cool thing.
Do you know how you learned that, Andrew?
You sent me a link to it. I know you didn't mention it, so I just wanted to mention it.
All right. Thank you. Yeah. Go ahead.
Yes, Meg gave me the link to that, so I think you heard it. And then
she's
very, you know, very tactfully, you know, slipped that in there. The second thing was Just a kind of comment on our views on the church is, first of all, our views are not necessarily just our own, but things that we've heard from lots of other people. So please don't think that we're like super stuck up people that think churches are all horrible. We've heard
lots of people.
And the other thing is that when we talk about problems in church, we're going to be mostly generalizing. So, you know, you may not have that problem in your church. We're mostly generalizing, saying America church in general.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely.
For myself, you know, I just the fact that we are all under the age of 25, we don't have the most experience in the world. Well, we have to be honest. But at the same time, we all really feel God calling us into ministry. We all really feel God telling us to just tell the world what he has put on our hearts. And this is one of the best ways to communicate with people in today's world. So we just put it together, and we will not attack any church in particular. We will use examples that we have experienced, but we're not trying to offend anybody. We just want to put the problems out there and give solutions, like Meg said.
Unless your name is Joel Osteen or Benny Hill.
Don't do that. We've already lost 50% of our viewers thanks to you.
No.
That's okay.
And one of your hosts. I'm just kidding.
Wait a second. Which one do you listen to, man?
I'm just kidding. I love me some Joel Osteen.
Okay. We just have to make sure we don't insult both sides. So we can't insult Driscoll. Okay, we can't insult Olsen, so we can insult either or.
Okay, so anyways, on to more important things, such as us. I prepared some icebreaker questions, and we're going to go around and ask, I'm going to ask the question, present the question, and we're just all going to answer. And they're just some fun get-to-know-you questions that hopefully the answers have been prepared ahead of time, Andrew.
I'm actually on top of things today.
Andrew,
did I do the first round of answers for Rob?
Yeah. Okay, go ahead. And we will, Rob, since he's not here, we're going to make up answers for him. He's forfeited his right to any answers to provide original answers. So I hope that you enjoy. So first of all, I would like you guys, no, we'll save that for last. Okay, so go ahead and full name with any additional preferred embellishments. Go.
My name is Andrew Calvin Hughes, and I guess my embellishment is the humorist from the League of the.
Oh, yeah, the League of the.
I can't remember. Did we have another league? I thought we had two. Oh, no, we had the Council. And
we have the Council.
Never mind. So, the humorist, that's my only other additional embellishment.
All right. Anthony, go ahead.
Do I have to use a League of the name?
League of the name is horrible.
Okay, so my full name is Anthony Philip DiGiorgio. I don't really have any embellishments to add. I suppose I can go with a League of the name. Just I was called A, the Jew, and B, the Weird, and neither are true. I will know.
No. Well, he's definitely weird. Wait, let me explain.
Yeah.
He looks Jewish in physical appearance. He's Italian, but to the effect that people often question his nationality. So it's not meant to be an offensive nickname. It's just a fun nickname.
It's not offensive. I'm proud to be Italian, however, and the problem is that I went to school with a bunch of people who are obsessed with the Jewish culture.
So, the League of the, by the way, is a one of our random funny group things.
Yeah.
We were all standing around. We were actually talking about Alexander the Great, which we actually do on a semi-regular basis, talk about Alexander the Great. And we said, why doesn't anyone have the names anymore? And we decided to give ourselves self-proclaimed the names, describing ourselves.
Well, it started out as self-proclaimed, and then it became proclaimed by others.
True. Yes. Yeah. And so, some people were easier to name than others.
Yes.
So, Rob, what's Rob's middle name?
Can I make one up?
I just made one up. Robert Goodell. Hubert, it fits.
What was it?
Robert Hubert Goodell.
Oh, I was going to call him Robert Driscoll Goodell, but hey.
And his league of the name is the Humble.
Because he's not.
So that's that. My name is Megan Catherine Nydeck, but I prefer to go by Meg. And I went with Esquire because it's a term of respect that you can add onto your name. So I'm going to use that from now on, Meg Catherine Nydeck Esquire. And my league of the name is the Grammatical because I love grammar.
And she has a giant pencil sword.
And I have a giant pencil sword.
Hey, can I be Anthony the OCD?
Yeah, all right.
Okay.
You just heard it here. We just made history, changed his league of the name.
Okay.
Number two, what is your favorite food and beverage?
Pizza, because my family is like obsessed with perfecting pizza. And favorite beverage is definitely Red Bull.
Oh, yeah, that's
next,
right, yeah.
After the Holy Spirit, that is.
Anthony?
Oh, come on. Actually, it really depends on how they are cooked, okay? But I love a good calzone that is made from a wheat bread, okay? And it's got to be done right or else it doesn't taste good. And with not a lot of ricotta. People put too much ricotta in calzones. And
too much sauce, I think, personally.
No, well, you don't put sauce in it. You dip it. You're not supposed to put sauce in calzones.
We can solve both problems by just making it bigger.
But and then I made a notation that it has to be a good, bold, spicy marinara sauce. So as long as those marinara.
Okay.
And then my favorite drink is Sprite if there is no good sweet tea available.
Sweet tea.
Oh, man, I'm stuck up north.
I'm stuck up in the north.
Sad
day.
By the way,
my favorite food, shockingly enough, is pizza. And I like, personally, my favorite, like, I literally could go the rest of my life just eating pizza, I'm pretty sure. But I like a deep dish pizza with pineapples, feta, and... Oh, mushrooms. That's my favorite
pizza.
That's
a pizza I've never heard of.
It is. I know where I invented it.
Feta and
so it is delicious. And
nothing but feta, mushrooms, and
pineapple.
Pineapple.
Well, and the cheese and the sauce. And,
oh, okay.
Yeah. Regular stuff. Feta, in addition to... Oh, my goodness. It's amazing. My brother actually introduced me to adding feta to pizza, and it's life-changing.
See, that's what we should try that Andrew Feta instead of that stuff that you can't find.
Oh, never mind.
Okay, so anyways, my favorite beverage would be sweet tea. But in lieu of sweet tea, because I'm in the north, I said wild cherry Pepsi or cranberry juice. Which, if you remember, it would have
like... like awesome flavors of pop up there because like the north is obsessed with pop.
Well, yeah, well, we have Faygo and everything. Rock and Rye Faygo is delicious. But I don't know. That's just, I like wild cherry Pepsi. That's just what I like.
Have you guys tried the throwbacks?
No, they just seem kind of strange. I don't know.
They
got
sugar in them, like real sugar.
Oh, really?
Yep.
Well, so they're technically healthier. So anyways, what does Rob, we're going to go ahead and say Rob likes pizza. Because,
well, what does he like as toppings? I think he likes anchovies and Triscuit crackers.
And his favorite beverage.
I fact that Rob's favorite food is definitely monkey brain.
I've heard that's a delicacy in some countries.
Oh, is that what he was always eating? That explains so much about brain food.
It looks like popcorn. It looks like popcorn, but it's actually monkey brain.
So,
I'm eating popcorn.
His favorite beverage is mud, Ben.
Mm-hmm. I love good mud. You mix it just right.
Satisfying.
Tastes like earth.
Okay, so favorite color, Andrew, go, quickly.
Blue, definitely, duh.
Anthony,
green.
Favorite color?
Green, a shade of green.
And I'm going to go ahead and say purple, darker, rich, beautiful purple. And Rob's would be pink. We all know it, so.
Exactly. That'll make you fuchsia, somewhere in there.
Yeah, fuchsia would be the specific, yeah, definitely. Okay, Andrew, greatest spiritual influence in your real life, a real person who has been the only one greatest spiritual influence in your life. Go.
Jesus Christ. No, I mean, for real, probably my grandpa. Well, I mean, not for real, but in keeping with your question, my grandpa.
Right. Why?
Because he's always been the one that I can go to with questions, like all throughout the year. He'd come up and we'd have lunch together and I would talk to him about questions. He'd give me books to read and he'd really direct my theological thinking in a lot of ways. And in fact, he's the one that explained to me the 5 points of Calvinism and made me think that they were, explained them in a way that I finally understood what they meant and agreed with them.
Not all of us on this radio program necessarily agree with the 5 points of Calvinism to be discussed later.
Sorry.
No.
Right.
He brought it up. He opened it.
I know he did bring it up, and we're just making a note.
That's why he's a great influence on me, is because that's why I believe in 5 points, all right? I wasn't saying the 5 points are right. I wasn't writing banners in the sky saying, if you're not Calvinist, you're going to hell, okay? Just kidding. Maybe believe in Calvinism.
He just said it. We could totally misquote him.
I forgot this is on air. People are going to clip me together.
We got you on tape now.
All right, Anthony, go, same question.
This was very hard for me, actually. There were two people, and I'm just going to mention both, but only talk in long terms about one. Marty Stahl, she just really stuck with me when I was a teen and really kept me going to church, even when I would leave for years. So ultimately I decided spiritually, with that little thing, you know, I grew the most because of the influence that the current youth pastor at my church, Pastor Mike Schuster, has had on me. And he came into the church, and this guy, Pastor Mike, is a great, great guy, really, but he is very bad in speaking. He has terrible English grammar. He can't spell. When I look at the stuff that he types up to prepare for sermons,
Why is he your greatest influence?
and you know, these are all things that I look at the outside, and these are things that I try not to judge a person on, but really, he is so wise, and I didn't trust everything he said at first, but now, a few years later, you know, I'm coming to realize, you know, he was totally right about this stuff, and he just really stuck with me. He guided me where God wanted me to go, and he basically just gave me a great example of a man of God, and I never had a great example of a man of God who was interested in my life before that.
Very good.
Pastor Mike Schuster.
Yay! And I want to say I was going to the same church as Anthony, and I can definitely echo what Anthony was saying, and so much more. And I think my favorite thing about him was that he saw the potential. He always looks at the good in people and the potential in people. And he looked at me, and he barely knew me, and he just went on and on about how many great things he saw in me. And he's not the person I picked, but I just wanted to definitely agree with you. And again, this was very, very difficult for me also because I've jumped around. I've moved around a lot my whole life. And so really God has always provided some people that had different aspects of influence in my walk, even from my infancy, my spiritual infancy when I was 17, up until now, I've always had great women and men of God in my life to influence me. So it was very, very difficult to pick one. I picked actually my discipler at Word of Life, Denise Hardy, just because she was there for the whole year. And she was just very, very consistent with me. We met every week, there were some weeks where we met every day because she really pushed me into a level of maturity that I would never be at. And she was so patient with me and really forced me to, encouraged me to make my faith real, in ways that I'd never been challenged to before. I know you guys are surprised, for as much as I complained about her. I definitely want to give a shout out to Sarah Ray because she was amazing, and Pastor Mike definitely, and also his wife, Donna Schuster. And, just so many others. I mean, I can, from college and, yeah, anyway, so, yeah, I'm the one who was complaining. Oh, well, yes, there's so many. So, anyways, you can't.
Just real quick. Come on.
Really quick. Okay, fine.
Okay. I just wanted to say, each of the people who have had the most spiritual influence in our lives was somebody who discipled us. And that's one of the reasons why we believe and wholeheartedly in discipleship in the church. Because if Andrew's grandfather had never come beside him and guided him patiently and consistently, you know, and same with Pastor Mike with me and Denise with Meg, that consistency and that love of Christ and just wanted to throw that out there, discipleship.
Yeah. Thank you. Yeah, I do appreciate that, actually.
In fact, that's what the entire Ecclesia project got started on, was the fact that discipleship seemed to be lacking in the church.
Yeah. Which we will, I keep using the word expound, we will talk about in greater detail later. Next question. Okay, the greatest spiritual influence outside of your real life, that could be an author or a pastor from a sermon, someone you don't know personally but has definitely had an influence in your life.
Definitely mine is C.S. Lewis, I've read everything he's written. Even if you scribbled on a piece of paper and threw it in the trash, I've read that. That man is probably, to me, one of the most genius thinkers of all time. I love his philosophy. I love his novels. I love his fiction. I love his real stuff. Everything he's done, I think, is amazing. So,
as opposed to his fake work?
His fake work.
Yeah.
Yes, exactly. I love everything that he has written. He has certainly altered the way I view the world and really given solid answers on a lot of questions. Probably the book I would say every person in the world should read is Out of Pain. Most people, if you hear the stories they'll talk about, they'll say, well, I'm no longer a Christian because of X thing happened in my life. And it's usually a painful situation. And C.S. Lewis does an excellent job of talking about why there's problems and pain in life here on Earth.
Excellent, but you're a jerk because you stole mine. So,
being born with a name that starts with A.
So, Anthony, go ahead. Oh, wait, can I just, one more thing, sorry. C.S. Lewis, not a 5-point Calvinist. All right, Anthony, go ahead.
Okay, my turn. I can't do the voice, but there is no try, only do or do not. Yoda is my non-real life. No. It says greatest spiritual influence.
What's a punch sound effect?
Oh, I've got the sound effects here. Oh, no, do not do it. Get away from your clicker. Away. Okay. Not Yoda. I'm sorry. I was just trying to be stupid and funny.
Well, you accomplished one of those, so.
No, we won't discuss which one. Really, outside of my real life, I can't name anybody, any author, any influence that I can honestly say has impacted me greatly spiritually, because most of the men who have impacted me and most of the people who have I've met or I've known, I'd say that the person who's impacted me the most that I don't know really well would probably, I can't think of anybody. Maybe Francis Chan.
I was going to say, yeah.
Maybe Francis Chan, because I've heard him speak twice, and I've watched a few of his sermons online, and the way that he explains the love of God, and the way that he explains Christianity, and the way we're supposed to live as Christians, and just the example he seems to set from his life and the way he leads his church is really just awe-inspiring. And so I'd say probably him if I had to choose anybody.
All right.
And we all know that Rob's greatest influence in life was Jacobus Arminius. Definitely the big influence in his life.
He shaped his theology in a huge way. I definitely agree.
Augustus was a good one for him too, but go ahead.
All right. And so my greatest spiritual influence is also C.S. Lewis, but I actually, I'm an avid reader personally, and I know Andrew's too, but, and so I have read a lot of books and definitely been influenced by a lot of books, in some ways even more so than people, just because it's more systematic and clear, you know, in different ways, because people make an emotional impact a lot more, whereas a book is kind of just something you can come to on your own at your own pace. And C.S. Lewis was the first theologian I ever started reading, and I've just always loved his books. I haven't read everything that he wrote, but I've read a lot of what he's written. And I'll get to what my favorite book by him is later, and another question, if we make it to that question. But definitely Paul Washer is a close second, just because his famous 60-minute sermon that really put a fire in my bones regarding the epidemic of false conversion in the church. And that's probably something we'll talk about later on also. But anyway, that and then his other stuff is just amazing. But the passion of Paul Washer also, definitely. I broke the rule about having only one person for that too. All right, now a little lighter. We got to get through these quick. We only have 15 minutes left. What is your favorite secular book series, a book or book series?
Gee, can anyone get mine?
I know.
We all know, just say it.
This is the only series that I quote from like every 10 seconds. The Sword of Truth series by Terry Goodkind. If you have not read it, you need to drop everything you're doing right now and find all of the books, all of them, and read them without doing anything else. Do not even breathe before you get to this book. Read the rest. You need to read that book immediately.
Unless you do not like to read mature material, because he does have some mature material in there. So just putting that
out. Just skip over those parts. The rest of the book, amazing. If I could be any person, I would be Richard Law.
Okay. Actually, this was extremely hard for me because I am an avid reader, and I have read. When I got it down to like my bottom choices, like my last choices, I had 5 series of books left. But ultimately, it came down to Lord of the Rings, because and I read this series, and I've read all of his books, Unfinished Tales, Silmarillion, and all of those. And he really had the most impact on me as far as getting me to want to read more. And I really, I just love that. I was actually addicted to an online game that was based on Lord of the Rings for a few years, so that was a bad thing. But hey, it was pretty cool. We'll just leave it at that. Lord of the Rings, J.R.R. Tolkien, probably one of the best communicators in the English language in the last 200 years. So, anyway.
Oh, definitely agree. And definitely Lord of the Rings is one of my favorite series also. Again, I've only read Well, I've read the four, but I know he has additional books that I have not read that are kind of like the prequel. And anyways, and I know that there are so many series I love. And again, I went back to what series have I what have I loved the longest? And for me, it's of course Harry Potter. I love Harry Potter. I've been reading it since I was like 12, 11 or 12.
Second Twilight.
I've been reading since the second book came out, and so I've read it, and I've been there with when every book came out, and had the anticipation, and it's just a book series I've loved. I didn't get to into Lord of the Rings till high school, personally. So. I also picked just a book, the book Girl Interrupted. It's by Susanna Kaysen, and it's about a girl in a mentally ill girl, and I just love that book. It's really great. I really love postmodern literature, and it really explores a lot of great philosophical questions, and I enjoyed it a lot. I actually had to read it for philosophy in high school, and I've always enjoyed that book. So it was really influential for me in high school. So, anyways, okay, number seven, question seven, your favorite secular TV show and or movie? Quickly.
Definitely the show Castle. Amazing show.
All right. Anthony.
I couldn't bring it down to one show. I brought it down to a universe of shows, like three different shows put together, and that's the Stargate series, encompassing all of Stargate SG-1, Atlantis, and Universe. So,
that was a close second.
And all of the movies. And all of the movies. There's four movies.
Yeah, Stargate and Glee, for me, right on the same level.
Really? Oh,
I'm a
okay.
Glee. Glee is an awesome show.
Can I? Okay. Never mind. I have so many comments to say to that, but I just want to say
comment
so.
On Andrew liking Glee.
In the fan fiction realm, every story that has ever existed has a crossover with Stargate. I don't understand it. Every story, like the most, it has nothing to do, but it's crossed over with Stargate. My favorite secular TV show and/or movie. Okay, TV show. I love a lot of shows. A consistent favorite has always been House. And Gilmore Girls. I love the banter of Gilmore Girls. And
no
I love
notice,
how...
Huh?
Hmm?
No Burn Notice, huh?
Oh, well, Burn Notice, but I mean, it's definitely not up there. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So, and then for movie, I couldn't pick any movies, but I really like Nicolas Cage and Hugh Grant. So...
Okay. Yeah, can I just throw a little known series out there that was like the great series, but it only lasted one series? Called Jack and Bobby, okay? If you guys go online,
no,
type that into your search bar, you find it, all that.
We have 9 minutes. We have 9 minutes and like 12 questions to go through.
Let's move on.
Okay. Favorite Christian book? Go.
Narnia.
What? Anthony.
It is.
Anthony, go.
The Pursuit of Holiness by Jerry Bridges.
All right, mine. I came down to two: The Screwtape Letters by C.S. Lewis and Respectable Sins by Jerry Bridges. Would you be a knife, a fork, or a spoon, and why?
Knife, because I can make all the others with a knife.
Anthony?
Spoon, Andrew, ask me a question. Say, why a spoon, cousin?
Why a spoon, cousin?
Because it'll hurt more, you... I can't say the other word. Tweet. Come on. Alan Rickman. Sean. Alan Rickman.
What?
I would be a spork because it is useful like a fork and a spoon, but less pointy than a fork. I went the other way. Do you consider yourself an introvert or an extrovert?
Extrovert.
Half and half.
You can't be half and half. You have to pick one.
That's what Andrew told me.
Fine.
Introvert, probably.
Yeah, I'm definitely also an introvert. I'm going to go ahead and answer that Rob is probably most certainly an extrovert. Okay, favorite life verse, quickly go. And you can't say the whole Bible. That was my rule. So.
Colossians 3:1-4.
We have like 6 minutes, Anthony.
Yeah, I know.
Oh.
Psalm 16, verse 8. I have set the Lord always before me, because he is at my right hand, I will not be shaken.
Thank you. It's a good verse. Second, and mine is 2 Corinthians 4:7. But the excellence of his power is in earthen vessels, so the power may be of God and not of us. It's really horrible that I can't quote my life verse verbatim. It's good. 2 Corinthians 4:7.
Yes.
What? Go ahead.
No, I'm just agreeing with you.
Oh, okay. What is your favorite topic of study in the Bible? You can't say you enjoy studying the whole Bible.
Okay, so this is a super difficult one. Mm-hmm. And I'm sorry to talk about Calvinism again, but so too.
Theology is your favorite?
Soteriology.
Oh, soteriology. Oh, all right. Oh, yeah, well, it's a good one. Salvation.
Yeah.
Good. Yeah.
I like it.
Anthony, go ahead.
Okay. I was actually torn between, it's like, do I want to go with my favorite or the most profitable one for me? My favorite one and the one I've most enjoyed studying is angelology. Eschatology was a close second. Eschatology, by the way, for anybody who doesn't know, is study of the end times.
Oh, yeah.
Angelology is the study of angels.
Yeah.
If you didn't know that, stop listening.
Yeah, right now. Go buy a paper bag.
Because you're not going to get any of the rest of this.
All right. I went with a different, I didn't pick an area of theology. I love character studies. That's my favorite thing to do in the Bible is character studies. And also Greek word studies. Love Greek word studies. I could just sit and do them all day long. So, what is your dream pet? Bar none.
What? Either a cheetah or a jaguar.
You know, both of those would eat your face off, right?
Hey. Oh,
you said dream pet. You didn't say real pet.
Okay. All right. Go ahead.
Actually, funny story. A friend of mine put pictures on the zoo. Tina. Tina from Arapika Baptist.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
And they had the lions out and they had the tigers out and everything, and they had a little tiny monkey caged. It was like, it's just funny. The lions and the tigers are out and kids are petting them and the monkeys in the cage.
Monkeys can be vicious. Have you seen Night in the Museum?
It was that type of monkey too.
My
favorite animal would be a mix between a beaver, a dog, and a monkey. It would have the head of a beaver. It would have the body of a dog, but it would also have opposable thumbs like a monkey and a tail like a monkey, okay?
Mm.
And it wouldn't be too big. It would be a smaller animal. And it could talk.
Animal. What are you on?
You asked me for a dream animal.
Wait. You guys have to hear my dream animal. Okay.
Okay.
You ready?
Good.
It's better than Anthony's. All right. I want a flying, sparkly, purple unicorn. So it would be a combination of a Pegasus and a unicorn that's purple and sparkly with like kind of like dragon scales. And it has magical healing. Yeah, it has magical healing properties and the ability to communicate with me through its mind.
Well, if we were going to like fantasy pets, I definitely would have picked the dragon. But I thought we were going for real live animals.
It said, what is your dream pet? Come on.
Well, that's, I get cheetah. Would you rather eat your face off? No, I'm going to put a puppy head on a beaver. What the heck is that?
It could be a magical jaguar that won't eat your face off.
Yeah. I dragon scale, so that wouldn't that hurt when you're riding it?
I want mine to be a giant cheetah that I can ride and doesn't want to eat my face off.
Okay. So what are your top three favorite bands?
Project 86, Triple E, and Manic Drive.
Okay. Okay. I'll go. Manic Drive.
Yeah.
Three Doors Down is my secular band. I have to say it because they are one of my favorites. I'm sorry.
Not that they're secular. Yeah, we are about late. It's not
third
day secular that I'm signed.
Third day in Hillsong United, because I love Australians.
Can I just say your music choices are for pansies? Pansies?
What? I like the music. I like the sound. Leave me alone.
Yeah,
just because I don't like the stuff that goes, doesn't mean I don't.
There was none of that. There is none of that in the bands that I mentioned. One is a metal band. The other one is a hip-hop rap / R&B type music.
We have
and
4 minutes.
One.
Do you want to discuss God or this band?
Anyway, moving on.
Okay, so my top three favorite bands are Jars of Clay, Reliant K, and Skillet.
Can you call Anthony a pansy? Well,
are you kidding me? Hillsong United. It's good, but it's just not.
I like Worship.
Top three. What?
Top three? I choose a band that I worship to.
Wait, we have 4 minutes left. You all have 1 minute to describe what God is doing in your life right now. Andrew,
God is teaching me patience, and I can't wait for it to be over.
Anthony.
Well, there's a lot of stuff going on at our church. And you know, God is really, I'm so glad that I went to Word of Life, because if I hadn't, I would have ended up leaving my church. I would have lost patience. And so I'm just realizing that God does, that Satan does attack when things are going to be going good, and that Christians do have a choice. We have the choice to either give up, and God can teach us from those lessons that we learn from giving up, or we could push on and we could still fail and God could still teach us, or we can overcome and God can be glorified through that. So anyway, go next.
Excellent. No, that's lovely. For me, I've definitely, mine's a little more personal in the fact that, I've just been feeling a lot like I've failed a lot, and I really just don't have much direction. I'm trying to figure out, where does God want me? What the heck am I doing with my life? And God's definitely teaching me to just trust in Him and just wait for what He wants me to do. And just accepting the fact that my failures teach me and can God can be just as glorified in my failure as in my success. In fact, even more sometimes, more so sometimes. So that is what God is really teaching me. Then let me end with this. God is awesome. Have a great night.